Welcome to One Christian Church. We're so glad you're listening in. It's our prayer that the Word of God will both challenge and inspire you as you listen.
So today I want to talk about the principles of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then I'm going to ask you, are you ready to receive what comes next? So I'm saying they're the principles of the Holy Spirit. It really is not really principles. It's more like the rules of receiving and application and monitoring, managing the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But that was a pretty lousy title. So I just figured principles of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Principle number one. First principle is gifts are given. God will furnish and God will nourish His body, which is you and I, the church. You see this? This is a wall. And we call this the church. But is it really the church? No, it's a building made up of, it's just bricks and tin, mineral fiber and some paint and carpet. It's nothing. You and I are what Jesus came and died for, not this. He will furnish and He will nourish His body. It's His body. In the same way that someone who loves their body nourishes and furnishes its body, or furnishes and nourishes its body. You clothe it, you don't want it to get sick, and you put good food in. You give your body what it needs, correct? Look at this, 1 Corinthians 12, 23 to 26 says, and those members of the body, now the Bible regularly talks about the body, for those who are relatively new Christians, talks about the church as a body. It's like this analogy, cute analogy, because it is very clever in the way you look at the body's function, the human body's function, and you begin to see how similar it is to the church. And Paul says that the church is like a body and Jesus is the head. Now, I got some news for you. A body without a head and a head without a body, I don't know if you have a cynical view that I do, but I reckon there's a lot of churches without a head. We want Jesus to be the head of this body. 1 Corinthians 12, 23, 26 says, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. So on the parts that don't seem to have an external or more visible natural honor, you have to be deliberate about giving honor to. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. Again, you need the Greek to help you here. But our presentable parts have no need. I'll keep going because I'm absolutely running out of time. But God composed the body. Stop. Wait. Don't go anywhere. Wait. Who composed the body? Now think about that for a minute. What does that mean for the church as the body? Who put the church together? Who put the church together? Our God did. This is His body. He is our head and He put the whole thing together. He's the one that nourishes, He's the one that furnishes the body. He's the one who decides where the toenail goes. It goes on the toe. Oh, well, that's a bit obvious. Maybe. But some toenails don't like to be toenails. They would rather be a finger or an eyeball or something like that. Because they think toenails are inconspicuous. No one sees me, I'm important, but no one knows I'm here. And no one's, I'm in your shoe all the time and it's my function. Relax. Because it's God who composed their body. It's God who puts together the church. It's God who called you into His family. It's God who called you part of His body. It's God who has gifted you. It's God who has made you. It's God who has placed you. Do you get it? It's God who puts you in His body. Verse 25 says, that there should be no schism in the body, but that each member should have the same care for one another. God placed you in the church. He also nourishes His body as He sees fit. Ephesians 4:16 says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together. Isn't it amazing how when you knit, you can have a rug made up of 2,000 threads, 2,000 knits, but you just have one missing. Oh, man. Do anything to cover it up because it's all I can see. You can't see the 2,000 in place. You just see the one missing. Every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth in the body. Let's read this one more time. For whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Thinking. According to the effective working by which every part does its share. And it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Wait, what? Are you telling me that God put these people in the church for the church's benefit, for the church's edification, for the church's strengthening, for the church's direction, for the church's health? You bet! I know you don't understand, brother. I just attend once every now and then. I don't have anywhere to fit. I don't have a ministry. Well, shame on you for thinking that. What a lie. He has one skill. Do you get it? He cannot kill. He cannot steal. He cannot destroy. But he's a jolly good liar. If you believe that you're in the church and you don't have a place and you don't have a function and you don't have a purpose, you have been believing a lie. And I would like to spend this morning correcting you. See, things go wrong in the church when we forget whose body it really is, when we forget whose church it really is. Things go terribly, terribly awry. When we think that the Holy Spirit can only operate in certain music, can only talk through certain people, and man, we forget the most essential thing about the church. It's God's church. This is not my church. This is not your church. This is the church of Jesus Christ, whom he has welcomed in. He has placed you in his body. He will furnish and nourish his body as he sees fit. And it's long overdue that every member of the body gets a revelation that every member of the body is a valid and important member of the body. Every member is needed. Every member is valid. Every member is loved. And every member is just as annoying as you. You can't get rid of the annoying bits. They're part of the body. Everybody has a right to be in the body if God has placed them in the body. I have a preference to my right arm over my left arm, but it's no more valid. You should see me try and write with my left hand. That alone would invalidate it as a member of the body, right? Because it can't even write properly. I mean, what does a hand do if it doesn't write? Not very handy, right? It's essential that we begin to edify ourselves in love. Now, edify is not to pick up and fluff up. It's a terrible English word. In the Greek, the word edify actually really more means to solidify, strengthen, make hold, make strong in love. I don't come up to Adam and go, oh, you look wonderful in that tie today, because to fluff him up. What's the point of that? And he's got to keep wearing a tie so he feels good about himself. But if I come and tell him, Addy, you got to stop doing that behavior, man. I'm telling you this because I love you. I'm strengthening him. And the bond between us gets strengthened because he knows I love him enough to tell him the truth in love. So edifying is not fluffing each other up. It's telling the truth in love. Did you know 80% of people that leave churches leave over personal offense? It's actually more than 80%. About 85% of people leave church because of personal offense. If you have an issue with someone and you don't deal with it, one of two things are likely to happen. You're going to leave or they're going to leave. Eventually, one of those two things almost always happens, not almost, always happens if you don't deal with your issue. That is, you will leave or they will leave. And I want to give you a loving pastoral warning. You need to deal with your offenses and deal with them quickly because they cannot afford to divide. Because we just read there that there can be no schism in the body. God puts opposites together not to create a schism, but to remove schisms. Do you know how screwed up the body would be if you had two right arms? You ever thought about the idiocy of it? What's the left arm good for? If I had two rights, everything would be cool. Wow, that would be really creepy, right? The idea of the differences is so that there will be balance in the body, not all one and the same. So my careful, pastoral, loving warning to you is deal with your issues because if you move or the other person moves on, you are removing a valid part of the body. If you're responsible for someone leaving the church or talking about leaving the church or threatening to leave the church, you have a responsibility to get it right. That's what Jesus tells us in Matthew. Go and get it right. Your first problem is if you don't deal with it, they're going to leave and you'll be responsible for the removal of a valid part of the body. Be it you or the other person, you will carry that responsibility. The second reason is you will be accountable to God for that. That should put a godly fear in each and every one of us to watch our mouths, watch our behaviors, love each other as we love ourselves. Don't care if you're right. Get it right. It's not what Paul says. You become so bitter and angry towards each other. You're so self-defensive that you're going to take each other to court. Surely it's better to be wronged than to be fighting with each other in court. Anywho, that's my loving warning to you. You only need one gift to validate you as a member of the body. You only need one gift to be a valid and contributive member of the body of Jesus Christ. The idea of a vestigial organ or a non-useful member is a myth of evolution. And if you believe in evolution, you probably believe in anything. But anywho, the point being, the idea of vestigial stuff is not reality in science. Every time they chop something out of the body and say, we don't need it, we find out 20 years later, oh, dang it, we needed it. You are needed. Principle number two, the gifts have value. Every gift has intrinsic value. 1 Corinthians 12 says that we can actually pursue gifts, ask for gifts, and expect to get them. More gifts. Wouldn't that be awesome? You can actually pursue it and expect to get them. However, another loving pastoral warning to you, my friend, is to whom much is given, much is required. Be careful what you ask for. Before you go asking for more gifts, why don't you take a good, long, hard look at the ones you've got? And the question is, have you nurtured that gift? Have you maximized that gift? Have you taken seriously the fact that the God of creation not just formed you, your physical shell, not only bore a spiritual life within you, but he gave you spiritual gifts? Are you even thinking about the fact that you are so, so necessary? Not because you can do something naturally, but because what you do naturally is flavored with a spiritual gift. You are a spiritual gift to this body. I'm not talking about bottoms on seats. I'm talking about when you are in church, you've got to see yourself as, I'm meant to be here. This is my body. You're members of each other. It's one thing to understand that you have received a gift. It's another thing to understand that the gift inside you has intrinsic value. And that realization alone will help you become more responsible, more wise, and more fruitful with that gift. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18 to 19 says, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? It goes on and begins to talk about if the whole body was an eye, where would the sense of smell be? I mean, in theory, is an eyeball a body? An eyeball on its own is just flaming creepy, right? And the church made up of everybody exactly the same is just creepy. And you're pretty well good for nothing except for looking. I mean, you can't say anything. You can't move anywhere. You can't hear anything. You just look. You couldn't even move your head because you haven't got a head. You're just an eyeball, right? The irony of when you stop and think about the way we try to manipulate church to be the way we want church is just ridiculous. It is God who brought the members of the body together. And each one of those members, whether you see it or not, has value, an intrinsic value. And God knows each one of you, and he knows each one of your gifts, and that's why he placed you in the body. He knows your value, do you? Would you die for somebody else? Look, would you lay down your life for someone else? I would not lay down my life for me. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I know me, and if I had the option, this is alternate me. Like, there is no way in the world I would choose to die for this bloke. I wouldn't die for me, but Jesus died for me. Why? Because he saw some value. He's got better eyesight than I have. He saw a value in me, and then he placed his Holy Spirit in me. So not only did he redeem me, he placed his Holy Spirit in me and gave me gifts. What a ridiculous privilege we have to be called the children of God, have an indwelling Holy Spirit, and have spiritual gifts that build others up, edify others, strengthen others. What an incredible privilege we have. Have you ever received something valuable, like really valuable? every single time you get something of great worth, they'll say to you, that's really precious, make sure you look after it, right? Huh? If I came and gave you a red Ferrari, I'd be inclined to say, please don't scrape the gutters, just maintain it. I'm not telling you how to drive it, just look after it, huh? That's what the Word is saying to us this morning. God's not telling you how to live every single minute of your life, but he's saying, I've given great gifts to you. I've given you a great treasure. And if you don't begin to value it, you're going to start scrubbing the gutters with it. You're going to run it into the ground. You're going to stop maintaining it. Look after the great gift that you have been given. You, each and every one of you, have gifts. Precious gifts. Expensive gifts. Irreplaceable gifts. They dig a rock out of the ground, chop it up, call it a diamond and say, it's invaluable. Oh, bull. They'll find another rock bigger in a few years and they'll cut it up and say it's a bigger diamond and that one's invaluable. You can always replace rocks. They'll always find more oil in the ground. They'll always find something else that makes the thing that was irreplaceable. And you are not replaceable. There will never be another George Colley. He can have a kid and he can call him George and go, ha, proved you wrong. No, no, you just found another person and gave him the same name. It's not you. There is only ever going to be one you. And God made you specifically, designed you before time began. Oh, doesn't that hurt? He thought of you before he thought of starting time. And saw so much value in you that he chose in advance to die for you, chose in advance that he would place his Holy Spirit in you, and chose what gifts to give you. Is there any sense of privilege in the room this morning? How incredible it is that God loved us so much that he would call us his kids and do this much for us. Every gift is valuable. Do you know your gift? Do you have any idea how truly valuable you are in the body? Do you have the foggiest clue how necessary you are in the body? Because the problem is, if we don't get that realization, and I'm going to call it a revelation, of the value of the gifts inside you, you'll continue to undervalue them, devalue them, and leave them on the shelf. Oh, someone else can do that. I always wanted to do that, but I haven't got the gifts. I haven't got the skills. I'm not that good. Today is a day of change for you. It is a day of change. If you will hear what the Lord is saying to you, you have a priceless, can't put a price on what the Holy Spirit's put on you, gift in you that is absolutely necessary. If you are to leave the church and not come back, you have robbed the church. Oh, what a guilt trip. Oh, well, tough luck. I don't normally use guilt trips, but listen, you need to hear it. If you think you're free to come and go as you want, you have completely devalued what the Holy Spirit has put in you. You have at least one gift that must be used in the church. And if not this church, get into one where that gift can go in the ground and produce fruit. You're not a lone ranger. There is no eyeballs in the kingdom of God unless they're placed in a body. I don't want to lose any of you, but you've got to hear what I'm saying. If you're not going to function in this church, get out and find a church where you can. Get a place where you feel, this is my body. Today, I want you to take ownership and responsibility for the gift that has been invested in you. Romans 12, 4-8 says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So, we being many are one Christian church. We are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. I don't like that person. Tough luck. Grow up and start appreciating that you're probably as annoying to them. And if you start working together, you'll produce something. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let's use them. Hey, there's a revelation. Let's use them. If prophecy, then prophesy in proportion to your faith. Or ministry, well, let's use it in the ministry. Fancy that. Got a ministering gift, let's use it in the ministry. Anyway, he who teaches, guess what you should be doing? It's like rocket science, isn't it? It's incredible. He who exhorts, what should he be doing? You don't understand. I don't have a gift. Well, how about this one? He who gives, do it liberally. He who leads, do it diligently. He who shows mercy, then do it with a smile on your face. Every single person, you have at least one gift that will fit in that former category. And there's plenty of categories, let me tell you. There is not one person that God has placed. I'm talking about this morning and next week and whoever else comes along. I want you to start seeing this is not about church growth, filling up seats. This is about God knitting a church, knitting. And as he sees fit, you think, well, why hasn't God done it previously? Well, he has, or you wouldn't be here for a start. Why hasn't he done it faster? Well, maybe we weren't ready to have new things knit in. Why hasn't he done something else? Well, because he sees fit, not you. And he will do with his body as he wishes. And it goes well for me. It goes well for you if you get this. Everybody that comes in here and becomes part of the body is a legitimate part of the body. Not because you say so, but because God says so. It's the part that grieves me most about the church hopper. They have this consumer mentality. And it's not the consumer thing that bothers me, because every single one of us consumes. You know, when we come into the worship, we're all engaging. We're all consuming all the hard work of the music team that's brought us into that place where we can worship unobstructed, right? We consume. Got it? It's not the consumer thing that's the problem. It's the fact that they don't contribute. They don't realize how valuable they are to the body. And they hop around and they hop around and they hop around. And they're looking for something that's got just what they need. And they like this. And oh, they like the preacher. And they like the food. And they like the... Why don't you stop and say, Holy Spirit, where do I fit? Is this the body for me? And so in, sink in, and you'll start to feel home. And see, the problem for the church hopper is they never get to experience, they can never testify, it's so much better to give than receive. Because that's what Jesus said, it's better to give than to receive. But the church hopper can never testify to that, because they're always receiving, 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 receiving. And the more they receive, the more shallow they get, because it's more blessed to give. So the more they receive, they don't realize they're actually depleting themselves. But when you give, God gives more. And when you give, you see, the beauty is the eyeball never eats. As a kid, you probably tried, you know, put the spoon in your eye. The eye will never consume food, but the mouth consumes food and it does what it does. And then the belly, without getting too graphic, does what it does. And it distributes nutrition to the eyeball. My fingernail has never, ever consumed food. Never had a drink of water. Do you know that? I've held a few, but I've never drunk. This fingernail here, thumbnail, has never consumed water. But because the body does what the body does, the fingernail's still attached after 50 long, silly years. Is anybody getting the picture? You are needed in the body. You are needed in the body. You are absolutely 100% needed in the body. And if you forget that simple fact, you're moving, you are shifting, you are ignoring one of the greatest revelations you'll ever have, is that it's the Holy Spirit that has placed his gifts in you. I think some of you need a revelation of the value that's in you through the Holy Spirit's gifting. Gifts have purpose. This is your third point. Your gifts are not trinkets. They are to be used. You don't have a gift of prophecy and get yourself a mantelpiece and polish your trophy and say, ah, the prophet. Get a new set of commentaries and polish them every day. Ah, the preacher. You are not given gifts as trinkets. They're not mantelpiece trophies. They are not a badge of honor. They are not even for you. They're for the body. Why so important that you understand this? Because it's in the use of that gift that determines its true value, whether it's good, whether it's bad. Who thinks governments are good? Give or take, you see? Why? Because you're not sure that the government's behaving in a manner that's congruent with the purpose of good government. However, if the purpose of government is clearly defined and these guys line up with a good government, you'll go, ah, a good government. Who thinks guns are a good idea? Who thinks guns are good? Well, it really depends on the purpose of the person using it. You see, a gun can be used to terrorize innocent people. A gun can be used to defend and protect innocent people. It's the purpose of the use of that thing that determines whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. Who thinks the church is good? Well, it really depends on whether those who are in the church understand the purpose of their gift and use it accordingly. And if they use their gifts accordingly, the church is the greatest place on earth to be. Our purpose statement has never changed from day one, probably never will. Not because I'm reluctant with change, I love change, but because this is sort of at the core of what I firmly believe is personal purpose and the church corporate statement, is that we're here to see the kingdom of God established, equipped, and expanded. You see, each one of you have at least one gift, and each one of your gifts